That was awesome, wasn't it? How many people would y'all say is here this morning? If we get just a guess, we would say over 100, right? Have you ever been before 100 people and had planned all week to speak on Psalm 26 and the Lord just changed it right before you're about to start? If you haven't, that's where I'm at right now. If I'm honest, I'm a little nervous. But I prayed just a second ago, we're going to trust the Holy Spirit's leading. And so that's what I'm going to go with. I think it would be better than any words I could come up with. Everybody okay with that? So if you believe in prayer, I want you to pray that God would just reveal. Don't pray necessarily for me, but pray that God would reveal what He wants to. Let's just pray. Father, never have I spoke before a crowd where I feel less prepared. I'm just being honest. But you changed directions, and I'm just going to trust that you have a reason for that this morning. I'm overwhelmed that your Holy Spirit speaks the way you do. And so we just give the rest of this time, as we already have this morning, everything that's been done from gathering together to pray ahead of time, to sharing a meal, to sharing stories, to praying with one another, to singing praises to you, and now to open your word. We just trust you have more in store for us. And so in my weakness in this moment, I pray, God, that you would just show us your strength, show us your love, show us your heart for us as a father. So we pray and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
As Jesse was singing, I'll be honest, that is one of my favorite songs. And it really catches us in a place. Jesse and I were talking about this before the service. A lot of people have a problem with that word reckless. Bible straight. A lot of people have a problem with that word reckless because they look up the definition of that word and it means basically to act without purpose, to act in a reckless manner. I just want you to know, though, here's how I believe that the writer of that song, and more importantly, here's how I believe the Holy Spirit has spoken that song into my life, is that a God who would himself come down in flesh to take the payment for my sin, to lay on a cross that was rightfully mine, and to take that place and to say, it's paid for. And I don't have to do a thing for it. There's no hoops I have to jump through. There are no special prayers. There are no church attendance records. There are no records of how much I've read my Bible. There are no records on the amount of how much money I've given or how I've helped someone or any of those things that matter in the grand scheme of things. There's no scale of justice in that. Really, if there was, the justice would be on the side of me not deserving anything good. But the reckless part of God says it is paid for. You don't have to do anything but just accept that. If I'm honest this morning, I had planned what I thought was going to be a neat little talk on Psalm 26. That's where we were supposed to be. And as sure as I'm standing over there and I'm worshiping with you and I hear the songs sung this morning, as I hear that, I hear the Holy Spirit say, there's some here this morning that don't believe that. I want to tell you specifically what I think that is. Jesse just sang a beautiful lyric over us about this reckless of love of God, leaving the 99 to go and to find the one. And as sure as I heard her beautifully sing that verse, God says to my spirit, there are some in your midst that don't believe that this morning. Can everybody look this way just real quick this morning? I just want you to know, if you have to leave, if you have to go before the conclusion of this, I just want you to know that I believe that God is such a loving Father that in a moment like that, that a man, a sinful man, was going to deliver a message on Psalm 26, God says, tell them this. It is true about every single one of them. I would leave the 99 to go after them. No matter if you woke up this morning with a needle still in your arm from last night, no matter if the bottle was emptier than it should have been from last night, no matter what the sin is that you could fill in the blank, he would leave the 99. In fact, has left the 99 to go after you, the one. Maybe in your life, countless of times that you never, ever knew about, he was pursuing you, chasing you, singing over you. In fact, Scripture says that he sings over us, dances around those that he loves. His love is reckless in that sense. As about 5 minutes ago, God directed me this morning to Luke chapter 15. I want to read some of that and we'll just see what he has to say. Let's go from there. Luke chapter 15, starting at verse 1, it says, "Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to hear him." You see, Jesus was this one that kind of upset the system. He upset the status quo. In fact, many people were dressed up nice and were going to the temple. And in fact, the religious leaders of the day said that they wore long, nice robes and even had bells on them where you could hear them walking down the street. And if there was a paparazzi of the day, that was the people that they would take pictures of and say, "Ooh, there they are," right? The religious ones, the ones that's got it all figured out. By the way, the same one that Jesus said sometimes in Scripture said, "By the way, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and Sadducees, you'll never enter the kingdom of heaven." And people would hear that and they'd say, "Wow, if they can't enter the kingdom of heaven, then what about me? What about me, the prostitute? What about me, the one that lives in the street? What about me, the one that has this addiction, that addiction? What about me? If they can't inherit the kingdom of heaven, then where will I go?" And Jesus has that crowd gathered around. And by the way, most of us here wouldn't be considered the tax collectors. That wouldn't be our job. But it says the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to him. And then the religious leaders are going to come in. That's not really our crowd, right? But they're off to the side. And so Jesus is sitting with these people. The tax collectors, by the way, the most hated people of the day, right? Tax collectors back then, even more so than the IRS, would take taxes. But not only that, they would take personally out of that and say, "You owe just a little bit more," and they would put that in their pocket. And people knew it, but there was nothing they could do about it. The tax collectors were really hated. And then the sinners would have been your people like probably us. The prostitutes, the down and out, the forgotten, the ones that people would look the other way and say, "I don't want nothing to do with them." And the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled. Can you get the picture? It would be as if Jesus is gathered around teaching all of us, and the tax collectors and the sinners are all gathered together, and then over here we would have the religious people that have it all figured out, that wouldn't look any of our way, and they are grumbling over there because Jesus is teaching to a group of people that they look at and said, "They're not worth it." Now here's the only problem. You know the other people in the crowd that were saying they're not worth it? Probably the tax collectors and sinners, probably sitting with heads hung low from the prostitution the night before, or sitting there saying, "Man, I was too drunk last night. I don't fit in with those people over there. I don't have anything figured out." And sitting there probably with their heads hung low saying, "This is all too good to be true." Just like I believe God would direct me to a passage like this morning, that some of you are sitting around saying, "That was great ham and I love green bean casserole, but this is too good to be true." I want you to know that if Jesus was here today, he would be gathered around while the religious people sat over there with all their gains and all their hypocrisy, and he would tell you to lift up your face and look to me. This is not too good to be true. Listen, I will leave the 99 to pursue after you, after you, after you, every one of us. Why else would he take a sinful person over there that was about to open to Psalm 26 and say, "Nope, tell them this. Someone here needs to hear this morning, and listen, I'll jump in front of the line. Maybe it's me. Maybe I need to hear this morning." So we're going to just go on that ride together. So as the scribes and Pharisees sit over there and they grumble, saying to Jesus, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." Let me tell you something. Can I be honest? I'd rather eat with you group of sinners than any Pharisees and scribes and religious people any day of the week. This is my favorite time to gather around and share a meal with somebody. I learned more about Jesus right here in this circle than I ever have in my life, and I'm about 40 years old. You teach me more about Jesus, I'm sure, than I've ever taught you. And so Jesus sitting there, and he says, this man receives sinners and eats with them. And then he says this, Jesus tells them his parable. Jesus does this all throughout Scripture. He'll get people kind of gathered around and hear them. He's got that ability of being God and all. And he hears this, and he knows their hearts and perceives their thoughts and sees their actions and all this. And he sees them over there with this smug look on their face, like, if I'm honest, maybe many churches would pass by and look at us and say, that ain't real church. They don't have a steeple and doors and stained glass. They're not dressed up. They're not taking an offering. This isn't a church. I want to tell you, this is more of a church than I've ever been a part of, because Jesus is the head of this church. And as they would sit and they grumble and all this, Jesus says, let me tell you a story. Listen, I want you to get this. I believe this is why God directed me this morning. This is from Him. I had none of this planned this morning. This is what God wants to tell you this morning. As those who were sitting around feeling not worthy to get anything from God, not to hear from God, in fact, cast out from the circle that met over there that were religious people, that should have been the very people that were over ministering, tell you, listen, I know what you're longing for when you prostitute, when you lay down your body, when you give yourself to someone else. I know when you take that bottle and you drink too much of it. I know what you're trying to escape. I know when you have addictions. I know when you reach to pornography or to sex or to any of these things. I know what you're really longing for. Let me tell you about this person I know. But instead, they stayed over there well in the distance, and they agreed with the tax collectors and sinners and said, yeah, that circle's not worthy. And Jesus gathers this, and he compassionately looks at that crowd that is gathered around in his ear. And he looks over there at the religious leaders as they grumble and make noises and accusations and stare with a look that you don't belong to this kingdom of God. And Jesus says, let me tell you a story. So he told them this. What man of you having 100 sheep, if he lost one of them, doesn't leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he found it, he lays it on his shoulder rejoicing. If I'm honest this morning, some of our churches have goofy pictures of Jesus. I mean, they're just goofy. He wasn't white and he wasn't blonde. And I hate to tell you, my friends of color, he wasn't black. He was Jewish. He was a Middle Eastern man. The Bible says he wasn't much to look at. But the picture that I'm seeing this morning is one of those goofy pictures of Jesus, if I'm honest. Because I used to look at those pictures and I used to think about Jesus as this just pacifist, just weak. Man, this dude was strong enough to be a carpenter when they didn't have craftsmen. He was strong enough to go in the temple and overturn solid wooden tables and run people out of there like nobody's business. He's a man's man. He laid on a cross willingly and laid down his life for you and for me. This is a man's man. But the picture I saw all the time in this was this weak, sissy Jesus that carried this sweet little sheep over his shoulder, and I didn't get the big picture. You see, the big picture was Jesus, a man's man, leaving the religious crowd, leaving those who already knew, leaving those who were already secure in the kingdom of God. And he's saying, wait a minute, one of the people I created is lost out there with no hope. It's as if Jesus was looking over the crowd, and it says that he had compassion over the city. He looked and he suffered with the crowd. He looked over them as, he said, sheep without a shepherd. And he says, I've got to go and find the one. Do you know that maybe your life, as you put the needle in, as you drink too much of the bottle, as you lay yourself down with somebody trying to escape a reality that you're not happy with, that the very thing that is actually happening is that you are running, and that there is a man's man named Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, chasing you down, wanting to leave the 99 and find you, the one, not some obscure one, not some one that is out there that has no name or just a story, but you, that he is wanting to come back into the fold with one around his shoulder and say, I found him. He's no longer lost. He's found. I believe why God leads me to a place like that this morning. It breaks my heart. It's saying that there are some in your midst today, Keith, that don't believe that. You don't believe you're good enough. You've done too much. You've ran too far. Listen, there is nothing He will stop at. There is no place He will not go. There is no mountain He won't climb. There is no ocean He wouldn't swim across to find the one and bring Him back. And listen, when He does this, when He goes, it says when He finds it, He lays it on His shoulder rejoicing. And when He comes home, He calls together His friends and His neighbors, saying to them, listen to this, rejoice with me, for I found my sheep that was lost. I found him. And by the way, he's not dead, he's alive. And not just in this life, but even when sickness comes, when tragedy comes, that one day when everything is set right, when everything is made new, he's going to sit around the campfire and tell you the wondrous story of when I came and I rescued him and I put him on my shoulder and I brought him to the fold and we celebrated because he's found. Man, some of you are running so far from the stray. You're straying so far from the fold. You are running from the other sheep, and all the while you think you're running by yourself. All the while you think you've run too far. And if you'll just stop for a second, he's just a couple of steps behind, ready to put you on his shoulder and bring you on back home. I'm trusting today that God brings this message because some of you have run and the running needs to stop. It's over. Just stop and let's let him catch up with you. He's been behind you. He's been there the whole time. In fact, been right beside you the whole time. So just as this parable, just as this story, Jesus says, just as this shepherd, he says, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. By the way, Jesus is saying this, don't pay no attention to them. In fact, if I want to be honest this morning and just tell you, probably they don't really know what they're talking about. They don't know me. They think they do. They're wrapped up in their religious games, but most of them don't know me. Just look at me here. Everybody look. I can just picture Jesus having that tender moment, just as the psalm says, just lift up your head. Just lift up your head. Look, just listen. I want to find you. I want you to stop running. I just want to close with this morning. I just feel led to close in this way. I just want you to bow your head and close your eyes. Jesse's going to come. I just want to ask her if she will just sing that part again over Reckless Love, and let's just let that be a time of worship. If you're here this morning and you would say, I have never, ever felt like I've had that moment where I've been found by Jesus, and boy, I've done some running. Would you just come to me? Would you come to one of the people that serves you food? You just come to somebody you have a connection with and just say, I want to know more about, I want to know what to do. By the way, it's not going to be some magic hoop. It's not going to be a dance that we make you do or stand in front of everybody. We're just going to tell you, honestly, if you want the truth, if you're at that point, you're already there. That you know him, that you trust him, that he takes your place on that cross, that you believe in that, you're already there. But we want to pray over you and rejoice in that moment. So if that's you this morning, if you just say, man, if God was directing you to Psalm 26 and now he took you to this, there's a reason. I'm that reason. I'm the one. Would you let him find you today? I have no words to offer in hope other than that. Would you let him find you this morning? Would you stop in your tracks and say, just take me. Take me right now, just like I am. Would you take me right now? I promise you, listen, this is how good my Jesus is. Even if you're a little hungover from last night, a lot of churches won't tell you this. If you're a little hungover from last night, he'll take you just like you are. He'll take you just like you are right now. You seek one of us out, he will leave the 99 to find you. He will leave the 99 to find you. And when he does, it says that there is more rejoicing than a shepherd that finds a lost sheep. There will be rejoicing in heaven today. I believe there's rejoicing already. I believe some have done that right now where you're at. And we may never hear about it. And that's okay. I don't need to hear about it. I want to, but I don't need to. I'm going to trust. I'm going to pray over you. If this is you this morning, if you say, man, that's me, I'm the one. I'm the one that needs to be found. God, would you just bring them to you? Let them know. Let them know that this was all you today. This was you to bring them to a place to hear about your love. This was so much more than about a meal in their belly. This was about bringing them to a place to hear that no matter what they've done or doing or will do, that you have a reckless love. A reckless love by worldly standards that would reach out and leave the 99 and say, I'm going after that one. And then I'm going to come back and we're going to have a party. We're going to celebrate that one was found. One that was dead is now alive. We just trust that this is your work today. And so, God, during this time, if there's anyone that needs to seek someone out and say, I just want to pray over that. I don't understand. Tell me more. Father, I just pray that this would be that time of worship. If we already are secure in that, we know that love, that we would worship, we would celebrate, we would think of others in our life that need to hear this story, and we would go tell them. Not as to check off some box or some religious activity, but just to let them know there is a God that cares personally about you, that wants relationship with you, that died in your place. That's what the church at Southside was created for. That is what we as individuals were created for relationship with you. God, you're so good. You are a loving Father. We love you. We thank you. We just pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.